Welcome to Faith Evangelical Bible Church. Certainly our desire here is for us to be able to worship the Lord together. And in so doing, you may say, you know, where do I turn when I'm looking at the scriptures and I'm thinking about communion? Well, those of you who've been here a number of times understand that there are familiar passages. And you sort of say, well, are there other passages? Yes, there are. And so the passage that was read out of 1 Corinthians 15 is certainly a passage that's well worth meditating upon. Turn with me also as a somewhat of a parallel idea in 1 John chapter 3. Now, if you're not familiar with your Bible and you're growing as a believer, you say, you know, what other passages could I turn to? Well, in the Old Testament, you could turn to Psalm 32, Psalm 51. You could turn to Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. Just to mention a few passages that should point each of our hearts to the fact that the Bible prophesied, spoke to a future day when the Lord Jesus would give his life for us. These would be verses that, as we go to break bread, meant to help you to focus a little more readily on the marvelous grace that we received. In the New Testament, of course, we have the passage that we've looked at, 1 Corinthians 15, the whole book of Hebrews. All the gospel narratives all speak to the life that was given so that we could have life. The Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, wants us to appreciate the sonship. The Apostle Paul made the same references to sonship. Now you say, well, I'm a little girl. How does sonship affect me? Well, it's meant to be sonship and daughtership, if I could put it that way. That we would realize that each of us who have placed our trust in the Lord have a special place in the heart of God. And so as we come to break bread, the idea is that you would draw near to God in worship, that you would consider who you are in light of who God is, and that everything that we say and do here today would be an expression of our gratitude for what Christ has done. And so the Apostle Paul writes in 1 John chapter 3, as Les made reference to the love of God, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Now, I don't know what kind of a relationship you have with your parents. I hope it's a healthy one. I hope it's a great one. I hope it's a relationship for which you would say, I'm glad I have my mom and dad. I'm glad that they love the Lord. If not, and maybe you were raised in a situation where that wasn't completely understood, the whole purpose of this verse is so that we might realize as believers the wonderful relationship that we have with God as our Father. With my dad, I wanted to spend all kinds of time with him. If he went hunting, I wanted to go hunting. If he went fishing, I wanted to go fishing. If he was going to plow driveways with the snow plow, I wanted to be in the truck beside him. If he had somebody else and there was no room in the truck, I said, Dad, I just want to come along. I'll just sit in the back in the cold. Whatever it took. Because I wanted to spend time with my dad. Well, the one thing that your Heavenly Father wants to do is that he wants to spend time with you. And I trust that as we have gathered here this morning, that you want to spend time with him. As is customary for us, we invite the men of our local congregation to come and share from the Word, something that they've been meditating upon, thinking about. maybe to read a passage, to share and comment a few things on that, and then maybe to lead us in a word of prayer as well. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Statement of fact. Verse 2, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. My dad would go away and he'd come back. I'd be wondering if he brought something. Those of us who get to go away from time to time, our kids are meeting us at the door. Did you buy me anything? Did you get me something? Well, I want you to understand that when the Lord Jesus returns, he's bringing a reward. And he wants to reward each of us. Let's worship him in spirit and in truth. Just want to leave it open for those of you who would like to share something from the word or in prayer this morning.
Jesus was preparing the disciples for when he would physically leave them. And he talks about the Holy Spirit. I was going to send the Holy Spirit to be with them. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am with my Father, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and reveal myself to each one of them. Let's pray. Father, again, we marvel at your plan. Even when you took Jesus back away from this earth, you still had a plan for us, and your Holy Spirit teaches us to this day. Your Holy Spirit preserves your word, plants it in our hearts. We just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll start at verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And just the two chapters over in John chapter 19, when Jesus was on the cross, verse 30, we read, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus had completed the work for which he had come, and he said that to his disciples on a number of different occasions while he was with them. He had come to finish the work to redeem all humans, all people to himself. Every one of us, everyone who has ever lived, ever will live, has an opportunity to be reconciled to Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your marvelous gift. Thank you for finishing the work that you came to do when you were on earth. We're so grateful. No words can express what you've done for us. Truly amazing grace. And Lord, we just want to honor you and glorify you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
About David and how he went during his life when he was running from Saul, and some of the characteristics that he portrayed in doing that just reminded me of that when I was reading this in Philippians chapter 2. Not that there's any, I'm not saying this is connected to David, but it just reminded me of those characteristics here. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. And the selfish ambition there just reminded me of when David had the chance to deal with Saul, and he just could not possibly imagine killing the Lord's anointed, or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Father, for your word and just how you've preserved it and how we can read it and reflect on so many different stories throughout that you've kept for us so that we can learn from them. I do thank you for what Christ has done for us, for each person, that we can place our trust in you and be granted life through that. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Passage that was read earlier this morning from 1 Corinthians 15, if you wouldn't mind just turning there for a moment. Willie and Ed are a vivid reminder that you and I maybe don't understand that in any given day your health can deteriorate. For many of us, there may be resident in us, right even as we speak, an illness that will either incapacitate us or kill us. And so sometimes we, as we are fighting this battle, which is referred to as the curse brought death. The curse was a result of man's disobedience. And all of us sit here today and with full knowledge that we are disobedient. But we are also here realizing that, having recognized that, we have a God who loves us and a God to whom we can turn to and confess our disobedience, our failings, not just the sense of inadequacy, but the fact that we realize that the image of God has been marred. We are not yet what we shall be, 1 John chapter 3. But when he appears, we shall be like him. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul starts with verse 51, I tell you a mystery. There's something very much about life that is a mystery. There's a lot about life that we can't fully explain, things beyond our understanding. Sometimes the seeming injustices in life Why do good people die prematurely? Why is it that a lot of these things are so hard for us to understand? It's because somehow we're trying to make sense of life. We have children in our midst who have been adopted. If you've placed your trust in Christ, you're adopted. All of us are adopted. We've been given the privilege of sonship. Writing to the Corinthians, who, not unlike the Thessalonians, were struggling with this concept of resurrection. Every time I'm at a graveside and I'm doing a funeral, I'm reminded of the mystery of the resurrection. It's not something that I've experienced. It's not something apart from by faith, apart from what God has revealed in His Word. And I view it through limited understanding. And yet, viewing it by faith, I rest assured, because the one who guarantees my resurrection is one who has been resurrected. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. So what difference does it make? I'm a believer. I believe in the resurrection. What can possibly draw the world to Christ? Well, frankly, the message is powerful. But you see, the message in a hollow can doesn't really give a lot of credibility. But a message in a transformed life, that which was once dead but is now alive, brings hope. Not to the fact of the resurrection, but that there's a purpose for living. And I think all too often we as believers lose sight of our purpose for living. God created you for a purpose. It's not to simply play a harp in the future, but to live your life victoriously today, to be an overcomer in the midst of suffering, in the midst of anomalies, things that cannot be explained, in the midst of the mysteriousness of life and death. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. Suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, the resurrected one. Our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. As you and I live out the truth of the gospel, the power of the transformed life, the living of it is a proclamation of it. Go and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. something for us to capture, something for us to understand that much in life is not about confronting, but coming alongside people and living the way God intended you to live, to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to do whatever it takes to draw people to the Lord. So we break bread. We do so, I'm going to use the word, in mystery. There's nothing but bread and grape juice here, but the bread and the grape juice speak of the mystery of God's love for us. So rich. Probably isn't one of us who would be prepared to die for another person, maybe with the exception of our immediate families. But frankly, if you were asked the question, would you be prepared to die for another person and guarantee that they would go to heaven when they died, you'd say, no, I can't do it. But the Lord Jesus did it. And the Lord Jesus guaranteed the resurrection of every man and woman, boy and girl, not only in this room, but throughout the world and throughout time. Back to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That's a mystery. I can't fathom exactly how that's happening, how that's going to happen in the future, but God is going to do it. But between here and then, there is another mystery that's at work, and the transformation is taking place while we're alive. And so the Apostle Paul, Romans 12, 1 and 2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may present these bodies as living sacrifices. How quick is this all going to happen, this transformation of the body after we're dead? It's going to happen in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye. It's called a scintillation. It's faster than rapid eye movement. It's faster than the batting of an eyelash. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised. This is all about, I want you to take these words, will be, will be, will be, will be. It is assured. It is a truth to be understood. It is a statement of fact. But just as that is a statement of fact about our future, there's a mystery in the process of transformation. I know many of you, and I know that many of you have undergone challenges that many of us cannot even grasp. Many of you are in the midst of the struggles of raising family. Many of you are in the midst of disappointment with the health issues. Many of you are facing just the struggles of how do we walk together as a family by faith. It begins with breaking bread and worshiping our Creator. It begins with an enriched fellowship with God. I haven't arrived. I'm in process. I'm like you. I want my relationship with God to be richer, to be fuller. But if I didn't break bread and I didn't appreciate and I didn't approach the mystery of life as God has granted me that life, I would be very quickly disillusioned with this life. Death has been swallowed up in victory, verse 54. A quote from Hosea 13, where we were reading this morning, Renee and I, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law, but thanks be to God, and this is where we bow the knee. We need to be here in thanksgiving and gratitude for all that God has done for us. Your past, as it relates to all of your failures and disappointments, have been dealt with. Your present, as it relates to the circumstances that you're facing and the disappointments of the daily struggle, have been dealt with. Your future, in terms of how and with all the uncertainty that comes with any given day, the thing that you know nothing about in terms of potential failure and disappointment in your life, have all been dealt with on Calvary's cross, so that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, because all has been dealt with on Calvary's cross. Standing in front of my dad's grave, Renee and I and my mother were walking through the graveyard, and I've got a picture of the tombstone. It's a pretty heavy thing. In fact, I certainly wouldn't be. I'm sure they had to put that thing down with a crane. But I'm going to tell you, Dad's not going to bump his head on that thing. Having placed his trust in the Lord, he'll be resurrected. Did he live a perfect life? No. Will any of us live a perfect life? No. But take no consolation in that. Try to live the best life you possibly can for the greatest king who has ever lived. And so I break bread today, and I bow the knee before the king. And I thank him that he gives us victory. Victory in the Lord. Victory to overcome the sting of death, to overcome sin so prevalent in our day-to-day life, which can actually hamper us if we don't simply recognize the marvelous gift of grace that we've received. And so as you break bread, remember what you've received. Doesn't matter whether you came to know the Lord at age 4, or whether you came to know the Lord at age 40, it was the same grace. It's the same love. And the more you fall in love with the Lord, the more you'll realize and the more you'd be willing to suffer for him. The more you'll begin to understand that much about life today may seem to be unfair, but Christ has dealt with it all. All dealt with. I'll ask the men who are going to come and help with serving the emblems here this morning to come forward. Olga Larish is going to be moving to BC, and I talked with Corny this morning, and those of you who may remember Heinrich and Irene Ewert, who were here many, many years ago, live in that area. And so you want to pray for Olga and Nico and her husband as they move to the Kelowna area. So we'll be praying for you, Olga. I want to remember Alex Schenkel hasn't been feeling well this last week or so, and as you think of him, pray for him. Challenges with the physical body. And of course, there are many here who face similar things. Tom and Candace Scatliff, who are here visiting with us, who are going to serve out on the field with HCJB, are just waiting and trusting the Lord provide the rest of their support. And so we pray for them. They're also part of a Bible class. They haven't been class lately. I'm just going to chide them a little bit. No, that's all prearranged. But looking forward to getting back in class with them. Let's give thanks for the the bread. Thank you, Lord, again for this beautiful day. As your word says, the day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. For many of us, we can't always verbalize, articulate, or even the thoughts to come forward to express a deep sense of gratitude that we owe you. We owe you our lives. We owe you our families. We owe you everything about us. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. A richness in that life to be understood today as we allow your Spirit, as we're reminded, who indwells us to be at work, using your word to enable us to be the men and women you want us to be as we look to their great supreme commander, an example, as Henry reminded us. We thank you that he is the one who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Thank you that that work is finished. We thank you that he is the same Savior who intercedes for us as we come before you, Lord. And we acknowledge day after day our need of foot washing, our need of confessing where we fail, our need to be restored in fellowship with you. We thank you for the body that was broken. What a sacrifice. It speaks in part to what we might be able to envision because the crucifixion was clearly portrayed for us. But we realize that it was all motivated out of your love for us, a love we can hardly fathom because none of us has that extent of love. But we want to grow into that kind of love daily. And we pray that we too would be willing to lay down our lives for one another. That's what you call us to do. But not only for each one here in this room, but for others who have not yet heard. And so we thank you for the many men and women who have left the comfort so that they too might serve in places where others have not heard. And so continue to work even through us as a local church as we seek to partner with others in that ministry. Help us now to give our lives even for our extended family and neighbors and co-workers and many who don't yet know you. Transform us, remake us into the people you want us to be. And so we give you thanks for the loaf, for the body broken, but also speaks of the unity that we have as we walk by faith together. May you be honored and glorified as we endeavor to serve you as your church. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, "And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord, we come before you this morning, and we're humbled by your great love for us. We're grateful, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made for us, that you took the punishment that we deserved, that we might be restored to you, and that we might have fellowship with you, that we might have eternal life. And this morning, as we take this juice together, we remember the price that you paid, the blood that you spilled, so that we could enjoy eternal life with you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? In the same way, after supper, the Lord Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so the Lord may return at any moment. May we be found faithful. Turn with me to 2 Peter, and we'll close off with these verses. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." Again, it's part of a mystery for us to even conceive and understand God's judgments here. "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be?" A reflective question, to which Peter answers, "You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." Verse 13, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." Verse 18, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Shall we stand together for a closing prayer? Les, can I ask you to come and pray for us, please?
Father, we thank you for, again, this time of remembrance and communion. We, again, are renewed before you, and we want to live our lives in a way that would be pleasing and honoring to you. Pray that you would grant us strength and that your Holy Spirit would help us. Pray that you would go with us from here and help us to be the ambassadors we want to be. In Jesus' name.
Greet each other with a holy handshake.